Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account for 6 months, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code Android7.
Today is Friday, July 1st, 2011. Welcome to another edition of All About Android. This is episode 15 of your weekly source of the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
We're back.
We're excited to kick off the holiday weekend with some Android.
For those of you who don't live in the U.S., we have something called Independence Day from the British.
Or something like that.
Fourth of July, as it's affectionately known as. It's the annual blow stuff up in your backyard holiday.
And it falls on Monday, which is the normal day of our show. Yep. So we have the day off, and we'd like to take the day off. But we didn't want to miss a show, so that's why we're doing it on a second day of the same week.
Awesome. Look at that dedication. Two shows, 1 week. Good thing nothing happened this week. Yeah. There's nothing to talk about.
I was just about to say, if ever there was a week where we could get away with doing a show on Monday and a show on Friday and actually have stuff to talk about, this would totally be it.
What I love is that, you know, talking about Android, the platform is developed by Google, and then Google just decides to just turn everything upside down this week.
I know. It's amazing. It is all about Google today. This week we're going to be discussing the Android goodness of Google Plus. How to root the HTC Thunderbolt with our man Jason over there, and our favorite Twitter apps. I did find one. I did.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So you feel like you found the one, or is it just kind of like, I found one for now?
I found one for now.
Oh, okay.
I found one for now.
Quite as committal as I was
thinking.
It's a
metaphor for life. It's just like, I found one for now.
Found one for now. I mean, it works, and it, we'll talk about that later in the show.
It works until the next one that works.
Yes.
All right. Let's just dive right in. Let's get to the news.
Gee, what's our top story of today?
Nothing really going on. It's quiet.
You guys know. It's Google Plus. I will say right now that I'm addicted. I am addicted, and I have not used Twitter as much. I've been trying. It's like I have to force myself to use Twitter. And I already don't use Facebook, so that doesn't count in the equation.
And I think that's the real problem. And for those who are living under a rock who don't know, Google rolled out Google Plus, which is basically their attempt at a Facebook-like social network, right? I mean, that sums it up pretty much.
It's their social effort, so.
Yes. And it's been long rumored that they were doing something about this, and we've heard things about that, and Google Plus has been circulating around in the valley. And so it finally rolls out. And it's interesting because I saw you and Tom Merritt from the TWiT Network as well say that, you know, I'm on board. And like, I'm not using Google Plus as much because I'm so tied into Twitter is my main kind of basis. Mm-hmm. And I have Twitter published to Facebook, and that's why I'm on Facebook. And so I'm jonesing for a Twitter to Google Plus linking, and then I'll be on board.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because I just don't want another place to go. That's my problem. But that said, when I saw there was an Android app, I'm like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Now maybe I'll use it a little more often.
Yeah, we're not going to talk too much about all the features of Google Plus. I think you should go to our sister show, This Week in Google, who had a fantastic show kind of breaking down all the basics of Google Plus, especially for those of you who haven't been invited yet and aren't in there. So I guess you can consider this, you know, sort of an addendum, because we're going to talk about the Android app, and it's a preview of what's to come. And hopefully those of you who haven't entered and are not in Google Plus yet, we'll see why we're so excited.
First of all, I want to ask you guys a question that has nothing to do with the Android app, but everything to do with Google Plus, just as a social.
After I just said all that,
everything Eileen just said.
No, we're going to focus on that, but we're not. I just asked this in general because I don't know if I've heard this actually on Twig. Maybe I missed it. Do you see Google Plus lasting in the long term? In other words, it has this huge amount of buzz right now. Mm-hmm. Everybody's really kind of buying into it. The early adopter kind of thing is burning hard right now. And, you know, as more people get into it, hopefully it stands up to that kind of hype. But do you see yourself using this in a year? Like, if it continues the way it is, do you... Actually, that's probably a better question for you, Ron, because you're saying right now you're not really in the habit of using it yet. What would it have to do to keep you there?
I think I had this conversation with a friend of mine, IMV, and he's just like, this seems really overrated and a bunch of BS and blah, blah. And I was like, right, well, for any social network, whether it's Facebook or MySpace or Friendster or Twitter or anything like that, the key thing, if you talk to anybody who works in the industry, the key thing is that it will survive if people in your own personal social network are using it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if your friends and your coworkers and everybody that you do with it are there, then you'll naturally gravitate there. So it needs to build up that critical mass. Now, can it get to that critical mass? If I had to bet on it, I'm betting that it will, purely because of the power of the Google platform behind it. It's already tying into Gmail. Everyone uses Gmail now. How many people, you know, like Google has so many other services that we're on the web using every day. This is just a natural extension of it, as opposed to some new company launching a new social network. So I think it will have some legs.
Yeah. I mean, the Google branding is key, exactly as what Ron said. I use Gmail. Tons of people I know use Gmail. The maps. I mean, there's so many things that we're all using all the time. I think it's a good bet that you could double down that this is going to be, you know, pretty big. I mean, it depends on how they grow it, you know, the features. You know, I'm hearing rumors about games, with Google Plus. And so I don't want it to clutter. I don't want Farmville on here, but, you know, we'll see. Maybe they'll do it in a better way. I don't know.
If they're able to take what they already have, because the problem with Google is that Google spreads so thin, is that they've got all these geniuses all over that campus down there doing all random stuff. And sometimes one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. Best case in point, Android and Chrome OS.
Exactly.
So, you know, so if they can coordinate, and if I manage all my contacts in Google, I do utilize Gmail. More and more people, regardless of Google Plus the past week, I've noticed over the past 3 months, more and more people giving me their IM name. It's a GTalk name. Mm-hmm. Like it seems as if no one's using AIM anymore. Like everyone is kind of – anyone who's setting up a new IM chat, it's all GTalk.
Yeah.
So all those services, if they can roll that in, a Google Plus becomes my place. And I look, okay, where are my friends? If it can add in events, if it can add it, like a tie-in calendar, all that sort of stuff. It could be – because Facebook, yeah, I mean – and the thing is to keep in mind, people comparing Facebook and Google. Facebook's been around for, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
That's a lot of traction, a lot of development behind it. I actually tweeted earlier today, not to quote myself, but I kind of feel like a Google Plus. I feel like after 4 years of high school, I'm now – this is the first week of college, and I've got a blank slate, and I can – and all the history behind me is gone, and I can organize my friends a better way. I can organize my life in a better way. I can learn from what I've done previously, and I see myself abandoning Facebook and living on Google Plus if they add all those services.
Yeah, and I think actually that's a really good segue into the Android app. I think as Android users – and mind you, they're going to roll out an iPhone app here very shortly, they've said, and I'm sure they're going to try and get those tentacles in every which way that they can. But on the Android side, I think that's really good for Android users. If this is a service that you actually use regularly, and we know right now, we can see how invested Google is into this effort, and also how invested they are into the Android momentum that they have going on right now. It means some really cool integration into our apps going forward, things that they probably, they definitely haven't released yet. But I think it's a great start, and the app is actually really good. I actually really like the app a lot. It does the service justice, absolutely.
Well, should we show off the app really quick?
That.
Okay,
yeah.
So I've got it here on my phone. And, it's important to note that there is a portion of the app called Huddle that is not a part of Google Plus on the web. And it's basically like a texting. I think that's how you would...
Group messaging.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, like Beluga
was,
that kind of thing. And there is a separate icon for that, which I really, really like. Now, I'm going to go into the main app here. And what you see... You have options to see your stream, photos, circles, Huddle. There's the Huddle. There's the group messaging and your own profile. So I'm going to go into stream right now. And this is the latest stream.
It's like your news feed on
Facebook.
Yeah,
total news feed, which is very cool. The one thing that's missing here that would be very cool is sharing. So here I see Jason Applebaum. Oh, maybe I might want to share this post, but there's no option yet. But, again... Google's working on improving things, and you know, maybe this is something hopefully they see as worthwhile, and we can have a little share button within the app.
One thing within that screen that you're on in particular, if you swipe to the left, you get nearby. So they might not be within your circle, any of your circles, but it's basically what's happening on Google Plus near the location that you are. And it takes a little bit of time to ping it and get the information up. But that's kind of cool if you're somewhere and you kind of want to see. And what is it? If you swipe twice to the other direction, to the right. Mm-hmm.
It's incoming. So
it's incoming. Right. Explain that.
Well, incoming are Google Plus streams from people who have added you and you not necessarily have added yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the people who are following you.
Exactly.
Yes, following you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to use their terminology, which is a little bit different, but it's very foreign.
A lot
it's
of the same concepts, but called different things.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's interesting because I think to a certain degree, it's, you know, the whole following thing that we now, it's our language, but also like on the Google Plus in the app, like they're utilizing at replies. Like there's some things that they're utilizing the common lexicon that we've all adapted to with Twitter and Facebook. So they're picking up from that, but then they're inventing new terms because it's Google Plus and that's
right. The ad is no longer the ad. It's a plus, which makes sense in the service. You do plus Ron Richards to assign a message to Ron.
Yeah. Oh, but ad also works.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You can add them just piece by piece. One thing that I feel is also missing from this stream, and maybe they'll add in an easier way to get it, is that right now it's just your total circle stream.
Right.
And I really wish that there was some easy way in this screen. There isn't another part of the app.
Right.
But I wish that there was some way within the stream to be able to select your different streams, even if it's just down in the menu and be able to pull up, you know, all of your circles and selectively choose a default or something like that.
Because that's the real advantage of Plus, if you ask me, is the circle. Circles are great because and a way to organize your friends and pick who you want to see. Okay, I just want to see stuff, you know, like I just want to turn off my tech friends because they're all complaining about Final Cut Pro X and blah. You know, like so that would be nice to have in the app, that filtering at some point.
Absolutely. I'm sure they'll get there.
Yeah.
But you can pull up each of your individual circle streams. It's just kind of a little convoluted. You have to go into the circles section from the front instead of the mainstream.
I'll do that right now.
Yeah, and then you select your circle.
I'm going to select you guys.
And then the middle button, the posts at the bottom.
There we go.
And then when you're on the stream page, it makes so much sense for this to be accessible from there. To have to do all that just to get to this filtered version of it seems like a few more steps than it needs to be.
Agreed. I thought posting from the app was super easy. I mean, if you're on the stream up on the top, you can check in, kind of Foursquare-esque check-in kind of basis. You can take a photo or pull from your library. You just write whatever you want to write. When you go to post, there's an easy way to attach photos and add your location and all that sort of stuff. So really kind of elegant. Freaked me the hell out when I set it up though, because in the setup screens, did you guys notice it? And I'm looking in the settings, the instant upload option.
Oh yeah, the image upload.
That was like when I first saw Google Latitude. It's like, tell everyone where you are. And I was like, no, don't do that. And so instant upload is an option where it'll automatically upload new photos and videos. But here's the important note, to a private web album.
Right.
And that's the one thing that I missed. I just saw instant upload and I turned it off. And then I went back and I saw, okay, it's going to upload it somewhere where it's private. Then I can choose whether or not I want it. It's basically uploaded to the cloud automatically.
Yeah, that's going to your Picasa account. Now, one thing about Picasa, and this is in the fact, but I haven't seen much discussion about this. You might ask yourself, if you're uploading any and every image from your phone, you're going to go through your free 1 gig storage on Picasa really quick.
Yeah,
it's not actually the case. They've actually given you, I can't remember what the dimensions are of the photo. It's like 20:24 by 20:24 or something like that. So they give you a pretty large image size that if you come in lower than that, it doesn't even count against your 1 gigabyte. So you could be streaming all of your photos as long as they're below that, then it doesn't even count against your free storage. If they're above that, it can size, and you go over your free storage, then it sizes it down and continues to do it on endlessly. So they give you a lot of latitude actually with that. So that's pretty sweet.
So here I'm in the photos section of the app, and you could see that from my circles, people who have posted and are in my circles, photos of me, albums that I've created, and from my phone. So that's kind of nicely organized there.
Yeah, but just real quick, in the chat room, B-U-H, that's his Nick, says 20:48 by 20:48, or also 15 minutes of video. So you can do 15-minute videos as long as the What is it? The day is long? As long as the day is long? That doesn't work. Anyways, you can do 15-minute videos, and it still won't count against your storage. That's awesome.
But yeah, no, the instant upload, I mean, I guess I don't really need Drop-In anymore, the app that I had, pitched a while ago. I mean, unless you just still want to, you know, throw stuff into Dropbox here, you can instantly upload it all to Google, which is nice.
I guess there's benefits to both, having access to the files themselves versus having access to the pictures in a service.
It's almost like it's like you could have two different backups. Yeah. Why not?
Totally.
I don't know. Should we talk about Huddle? This is what it kind of looks like here. And so
Huddle is really cool. I mean, it's basically group messaging.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
The only thing that I would like, they're very close to having the actual Huddle be like Beluga. I'd like to, you know, do little things like send you guys a picture of where I'm at or something, or maybe even geolocate. Yeah. Little things. And I don't think I can delete someone off of a...
It's very simple, and you can't, once you're in a Huddle, you can't get out.
There's my notification. Jason says, Huddle, yo.
No, but that's the thing. Like, once you get added to a Huddle, and you can leave a Huddle, actually. I'm sorry, that takes it
you
back.
You can leave it, yeah.
Yeah, you can leave, but you can't, but you,
you
as a,
can't delete.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, I'd like, see, I have two Leos on here. I would like to get rid of the one that I know that is not the Leo, but whatever.
So you'd like to be able to kick someone out of something you've already invited them into.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they don't allow you to do that. I don't know.
I mean,
because you're in a Huddle and then suddenly like, hey.
Well, I just know that this is not an account that's being used. So I was guessing earlier which one was his, and then I should have, I think I added this first and then I added the real account. So now I just like to get rid of it. But I can't. So, I mean, just little tweaks.
What's interesting in Huddle is that if you hit up the menu, you can edit your name. So you can edit the Huddle name. But so you can change what the name of the Huddle is. Mm. But then you can also mute the Huddle, which is pretty cool. So if you've got like a group of friends that are particularly loquacious, you can say, okay, just turn it off. I don't want to leave it, but turn it off.
Loquacious.
Yeah.
It's like a 10-point word right there.
So I'm going to try. Call.
Yeah, I try. But my whole thing about the Huddle is that, like, this is great and it's really cool for group messaging and it's on my app. But because it's tied into Google+, I would love to be able to access this from the web as well. Because I don't, because a lot of times I'm sitting in front of my computer all day. Mm. Why can't it just be the messaging on Google+? You know what I mean? And so that's
totally.
Where it gets,
I can't imagine that doesn't happen eventually because it's not.
Google's going to tell you that's Gmail.
It's a little different.
Yeah, but do you think they're going to add a Google+ messaging the same way that Facebook has messaging? Because again, I think Google will say no, that's Gmail. So who knows? I don't know. But I would love to have this Huddle access via the web.
Well, the good thing is they're very open to suggestions right now.
Yeah, sure.
In fact, there's on the site here. Maybe I'll pull this up just to show it real quick because the more people that know about this, probably the better the service actually gets. There's a little feedback button down at the bottom that when you click it, you get this ability to highlight the page and send the developers exactly what the issue is, and then you can black out other parts of the page that you don't want them to see, and that's just pretty sweet. I've been sending a lot of feedback their way in the hopes that maybe some of these things can get corrected soon. They're actually making changes very rapidly already, so that's pretty cool. Is there anything else in the app to kind of point out?
Let's see.
There's the notifications bar down at the bottom, which is standard fare. It just pulls up anybody that's added you to their circle or anybody that's commented on a post that you've made.
One thing I did note about the notifications pane is that it's tied into having sync turned on. So if you have sync turned off because you want to save on battery or you don't want your phone syncing to Google that much, you won't get notifications. Because I had sync turned off and I inadvertently hit it, and I was like, I haven't gotten any notifications. And I turned sync back on, then I got 90 notifications.
You turned the universal phone sync.
Yeah, the universal phone sync. So I've got the power widget. Yeah, and there's that sync option. Yeah, so
I'm just looking at the upload settings here.
Yeah, you can limit it to Wi-Fi. Yeah. You can turn on or off roaming uploads. On battery, all that kind of stuff.
The photo upload was fast on 3G. I mean, I was down when I took that test photo of my washing machine earlier today. I mean, it went up like that compared to another photo app that we're going to talk about a little bit that was really slow to upload. It was interesting to see it be really responsive and snappy and just appear immediately.
And then I have I decided to try it out, Google+ on the tablet because I have it. It's a little dark here. I didn't adjust here. In fact, I'll brighten it a little bit.
It's not tablet optimized, is it?
Dang it. Why is that not working? There we go. No, it's not tablet optimized. So as you can see, it kind of stretches out. The text is really small. Kind of surprising, but I guess, you know, if Google is serious about kind of getting people on board to the honeycomb optimization of the apps and stuff, then I would imagine it won't be very long for this to be optimized and everything. It's usable. I mean, it's not unusable. It's just, it doesn't fill the space in a way that looks very sexy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just everything's a little too spread out. The icons are really small, but it's totally usable. So, again, you know, I've made a couple of posts on here. It certainly wouldn't be the way that I prefer to navigate Google Plus, but hopefully they do an update for tablets.
Anyways, I really enjoy the service right now, and hopefully a bunch of you can get in who are not at Google Plus and experience it too, and decide for yourself if you like it. Now, apparently there are bids for invites on eBay as low as 99 cents. That's bizarre. Ridiculous. Wait.
Well, especially because invites are not open right now.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, you buy them and great, and then once the invites are open, they'll add you. It's kind of ridiculous to even have to pay for it. But
the link here says $52.32 is a winning bid right now on a particular
$52.32. You're right.
You could wait. I mean, yeah. I know there's a probably that person is seeing everybody talk about it and just wants to get in, but you'll get in.
Yeah, you'll get in. I imagine sooner rather than later. Exactly. Google's got a lot of momentum behind this right now. It's getting extremely positive reviews, and they don't want that to die down just because they didn't let people experience it, you know, beyond that point to where people start getting really jaded about it. Now, I have to say, just really quick, I hope that Hangouts comes to the mobile app, because that is by far my favorite part of this. It's so much fun. We actually have some All About Android listeners and viewers in the Hangout right now. They're having a discussion.
Yeah, they're talking on their
That's
own.
That's cool.
Well, we muted them because we didn't, you know, it's a lot of audio going on.
And muted myself so that I wouldn't dominate their, or, you know, that our audio wouldn't dominate their screen. But
well, it looks like they're having a serious conversation. Yeah, this is good.
That was Star Mike. Hey,
yeah,
Star Mike.
Hey, guys.
Yes, it's a little choppy here because it's streaming in from over Ethernet instead of like a true video feed. But I can tell you, looking at the laptop in here, it looks great. And the experience is really, it's seamless. And once they roll games into here, I know I have it on authority that they're rolling games into this soon. That's going to be really cool to be able to hang out with your friends across the country or across the world and actually play Pabst Blue Ribbon Uno. Or something, I don't know.
And imagine if the rumors that were earlier today about Google buying Hulu actually come to fruition, group watching.
Oh, man.
All that sort of stuff, you see? Starting to come together.
Yeah, music, you know, sharing music, kind of similar to that. What was that turntable service or something?
Yeah.
That
reminds me of something me and my friend were talking about. Like, oh, my God, I want Google Music to integrate with Google Plus. If I could push a song to my feed and Google Plus from Google Music, that'd be so cool.
Yeah. Push it or hang out with people. That's going to be
so
awesome.
They could totally kill turntable.
Absolutely.
All right, we've spent a lot of time on Google Plus, but it's not undeservingly. I think overall it's getting some pretty good reviews, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. So I hope you guys get access to it really quick.
Okay, really quickly before we leave the Google party, I just wanted to mention there was a tip that there's a new app that is a photo sharing app from Google that they're beta testing right now, and it's called Pool Party.
Are you invited? No.
No. I guess I want to talk about it mostly because I can't talk about it. And if anybody has an invitation, there's three of us here who'd love to try it. We have the app, but we don't know what to say about it. It looks pretty cool based on the screenshots that we see here. Maybe it could be an Instagram killer. I don't know.
Yeah, could it be your Instagram?
It might be. I don't know. So I just wanted to make a quick mention if any of you, decide to throw out some invites.
Just throwing that out there. That's funny. I would love to use this. It looks like a really good quality app. And it's done by Google, but it's done by the Slide.
Yeah. They purchased
division.
Slide.
Yeah. Interesting. Because that's like what Slide originally was. Mm-hmm. Was photo sharing. So makes sense. I was wondering what they were doing with Slide. They haven't done anything with that since they bought it. Interesting.
Radical. Okay. So we'll see. We'll see if anything happens on that front, Eileen. All right. Let's move on to the next section. Let's do some hardware.
All right. Well, first up, last week we had a little discussion about a report that said that the iPhone was going to dominate and crush Android. And we had a little bit of a debate there. And lo and behold, literally the morning after that show was recorded, our guy, our favorite, Andy Rubin, came out. And we have a little bit, he had a little bit to say. And here is what would Andy say about Android. He says, there are now over 500,000 Android devices activated every day, and it's growing at 4.4%.
So take that, blah, 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 blah,
take that,
blah, blah,
all
blah,
your, blah, 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 you know, demise of Android charts and graphs and numbers.
Is that actually, am I reading this correct? Is that 4% week over week?
Mm-hmm.
That's wow. Pretty good growth. Like week over week down to that small of a time period, that's really good. So,
I mean, maybe he was listening to our show. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I like to think that.
I follow him now at A. Rubin. So,
what I want to know is, I can't wait for the moment that he watches the show and then sees the Andy says something. That's going to be the great moment, really.
Cease and desist. Oh, sorry.
I know. Sorry. Well, I think it's fun.
But then we can say we got like cease and desist by Andy. Yeah. That's pretty cool, if not
maybe
a little intimidating.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen, by the way. I'm not saying that should happen, so please don't. We're small. All right, moving on to you, Ron. What you got?
Yeah, so it was funny. I saw the other day Patrick Norton from Revision 3, and he's on some Twit stuff as well. He was talking about cameras on phones, and he would switch to an Android phone and had a good camera, and then saw this article about T-Mobile and HEC teaming up on an Android phone that's actually aimed at photographers and mm-hmm. shutter bugs, as they call it. The camera is it's the real emphasis on the phone is for the camera. It's got an 8 megapixel camera, a wide aperture lens, no shutter lag, a dedicated hardware button that let users skip the lock screen and go straight to take a photo. So it's really, you know, making a photo specific phone for photo enthusiasts, as well as HDR support, which is a little unique from the hardware standpoint. So interesting to see that they're spinning this phone to be photography aimed and aimed at those people who love to use their camera phone and give them a real high end, you know, kind of camera in their phone.
You know, I think, I don't know about you, but on vacations, I bring my phone. That's it. I have not upgraded my camera, and I don't use my DSLR.
That's so true.
Do you bring your camera? Do you have a camera?
I have in my bag, in my messenger bag, I have my little kit, you know, and I've got my laptop plug and my mouse and all this stuff. And I've got a Canon point-and-shoot camera, and I can't tell you the last time I've used it. Mm-hmm. I just don't use it anymore.
Interesting. And see, for me, I would use my Motorola Droid mm-hmm. As a camera only because I didn't have the point and shoot around. I mean, let's face it, we have a young daughter. We're not doing a whole lot out and about, you know, hiking and stuff like that, a little bit of that. But, you know, we're at the house a lot. So if I need a camera, I've got it right there. But ever since I've gotten this Thunderbolt, I take pictures on that thing all the time. and it takes really good pictures, I think, especially in comparison to the Droid.
Now, I do have to admit that I don't carry my point and shoot because I don't like to have things in my pocket, so that's why I have it in my bag. But and I take way more pictures with my phone. But every time I take a picture of my phone, I get frustrated because I hate the interface and I hate the not having the physical hardware button. And I know there are camera apps I could use, and there are camera apps that do HDR and all this sort of stuff if I wanted to. But it's nice to see a phone like if I really wanted to commit to photography via my phone, this phone could be the option. And it's also, you know, you can record 1080p HD video, and it's got hooks to directly upload to Facebook and Picasa and Flickr, all, you know, it's like out of the gate. So it kind of takes a lot of the guesswork out.
Yeah, I think this is where it's headed. I mean, everything is headed mobile, and, you know, I think it's just a sign of things to come. So,
yeah.
All right.
So I did something fun last night.
Yeah,
when
what'd
I
you
should
do?
Have been going to bed. So I had little bags under my eyes this morning because I didn't get enough sleep. But I went ahead and rooted the Thunderbolt. That only took me 5 days for me to kind of hit the point where I was like, I want this to be my, you know, I want to feel like this is my phone. There's something interesting that I guess I should have expected after so long of having the Motorola Droid and having it rooted and flashing new ROMs like practically every other week on that thing. The 5 days that I've had this Thunderbolt just using the stock OS on it, after a while, it was just like, God, I still don't feel like I own it. I don't feel like it's mine. I don't have full control over it. So last night on a whim, I went ahead and did some research and found a few walkthroughs. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. I essentially combined all of the links that I used just for, you know, for reading and research and updating. I did a few things. So over on, which site is this? Scroll up. Android Central, there is a forum post. Ah, get out of there. There we go. There's a forum post on the Mac procedure for rooting the HTC Thunderbolt. And it's a little long. I'm scrolling through it right now. There's things to download. There's, you know, you have to install ADB on your Mac, which is kind of the development software used to kind of get your claws into the back end of the phone in order to do some of this stuff. You've got to use Terminal, Terminal program, which if you've never used it and you open it up and look at it, it can be a little intimidating to look at for the uninitiated. There's a lot of terminal commands that really, I mean, I just cut and pasted. The beauty of this particular walkthrough, and I have to imagine it's like this with a lot of other rooting walkthroughs for phones, is that they're trying to get this information into everybody's hands as possible, make it as accessible as possible. You'll find some that pretend like you know what they're talking about. You'll find others that know that you know don't might not know what you're talking about and will kind of hold your hand. This particular walkthrough is really good at that. It kind of explains to you at the beginning, you know, what the formatting of a Unix command is within the terminal. Hope I'm saying that right. You know, just as long as you're copying and pasting, you're pretty much okay. So it looked a little intimidating long at first. It took me maybe a half an hour start to finish to really do it. And I was being slow and taking my time. But ultimately, you know, at the end of this particular walkthrough, see, I'm still scrolling through it.
Man, that looks so long.
It really was not that bad.
Wow.
Honestly, if you follow, if you're good at following instructions and you're good at making sure that you're copying and pasting exactly what it tells you to copy and paste at the right time, you're going to be okay.
I think it's just you're the man.
No, it's not that hard. It's like following directions to friend's house. It's there's just there are a lot of letters and words that don't seem like they make sense.
There's a lot to be said for a good walkthrough, like a really well-written blog post that walks you through how to do something like that. Like sometimes it can be the difference between 30 minutes and getting it done and 2 hours after midnight, like you had, Eileen, last week trying to get Amazon up on that tablet, right?
Amazon, Android Marketplace.
Oh, Android Market. That's what it was. Yeah.
Well, so I don't know. It wasn't hard for me. I guess this is my second total time rooting. So the first time went pretty okay as well, and I had never done it. Obviously, it was my first time then. So it's not like I have a whole lot of experience with this stuff, but it was not that hard. Just follow the instructions. I'll show you a few other links just so that you know kind of what I was doing. The next link that'll be included in the show notes is the XDA developers site, which is the same exact walkthrough. It's just not Mac specific, and it assumes that you know a little bit more. And I didn't turn to this every step of the way, but I used it as a way to back up what I was doing on the other one. There's a particular point in the walkthrough that I'll point out. And as I scroll down, it says, step 6, please pay attention. This is very important. This step involves a small chance of bricking if you mess up. Okay, so you hear that, and immediately, like, it actually happened to me because I was already halfway through this instructional thing. And then I read that, and I felt my heart kind of go, I was like, oh, okay, I can't back out. I don't think I can back out now. It turns out I actually could have. I don't think I can back out now, but if I do this wrong, I'm going to brick my phone. All it really was, the only thing you had to do to make sure that you don't brick is make sure that this hash matches the hash that prints out on your phone. If it doesn't, abort and try again. That's pretty much all it is. So as long as you're okay kind of parsing apart that hash, then you're probably going to be okay.
I guess the lesson with rooting is that you should take your time, attention to detail, don't try to speed through it.
Absolutely.
Follow the instructions, and then hopefully it's a success and you never forget your first time, you know? So
you never forget your first time. Good point.
Wow.
So after this instructional little thing, I'm fully rooted. Now what do I want to do? Well, I installed my root apps and, you know, confirmed that I was actually rooted. And then I wanted to flash a ROM. So take you over there and I'll show you which ROM I flashed. It is the Banff Sense 3.0 Gingerbread RC1, Release Canada 1 ROM. And, I installed it. Flashing a ROM is really easy if you use a program called ROM Manager, which, pretty much does it for you for the most part. But the instructions are in here for how to download this and get it installed. It's a pretty easy install process. But the very last thing is, once I had that installed and tried to use any sort of 3G, 4G data, there was no data connection. I was like, oh, what did I do wrong? Well, it turns out that ROM doesn't have a compatible antenna software, or whatever you want to call it. Someone's going to email me about that. The fourth link is actually a link to the file that you then also flash, and that updates your antenna software, and now it's working beautifully. And I could show it here just real quick, because it's kind of cool. It's got Sense 3.0, so you've got this flashy little lock screen. It's got this kind of swirly lock screen thing,
cool,
which is kind of handy actually, because you can do something similar to what Kevin Purdy showed off with his lock screen. You can grab the phone and pop it down there, and boom. Oh, there we go. Okay, it just had the Google Plus over the top, and then it switched over. But camera over to the top and into the lock, and it takes me right to my camera. So kind of cool. It's actually pretty sweet. I don't know if I'm going to stick with Sense 3.0. It's got some cool splashes, but I just kind of, again, feel locked into the Sense world, and I like to customize it to my own liking. So anyways, I think that's pretty much it. Again, check out the show notes. twit.tv/AAA. I've got all the links in there in order. I guarantee you, if you take a half an hour and just follow the steps, you're going to be okay. It's going to be all right.
I want to make a quick addendum to the eBay story. I want to credit SDAO in the chat room, who says that the invites don't work on the eBay auction site. So there might be, some of them might be bogus. So
I would be really careful. Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
No, just basically just wait. Like we were saying, don't even go there. But
really,
you know.
It's cool. It's not that cool. Honestly, like, don't spend your money on eBay to some shady, probably in Eastern Europe. Just save your money. Wait.
Especially because you're going to get in there in the next like week or two. Yeah. Or I don't know how long it's going to take. I honestly don't have any information there. But it's not going to be very long.
You know,
it's in their best interest to get it to you soon.
Yeah.
When they shut down invites, it was interesting because a friend of mine works at Google. And I saw him tweet. He's like, oh, servers are overloading. We got to turn them off. It was like neat to see the behind the scenes kind of thing. Mm. But it looks like they got such a big response that they have to, you know, meter the bandwidth and manage the servers, do all that back end stuff. It's interesting. Even Google has to do that. Which I think is fascinating.
Totally. Absolutely.
Because they're so huge. Yeah.
So. All right. So we got a couple emails. I know one from last week that you really wanted to do, right, Jason?
I totally
want to make sure
I
you
totally
didn't
did it again. I skipped emails after the first news block. I'm doing that repeatedly, and I apologize. So let me get to that email here. So the first email comes in from, let's see here, from Julie in Nevada, who says, hey guys, I have been enjoying the show. I have noticed that after I uninstall an app, there are still files left on the phone. What is the best and easiest way to remove these files? I've heard of file managers. I would like more information about these. Which one of these is a good, effective choice? I don't know about you guys, but I know if you use a file manager and look at your SD card after a long time and you've uninstalled apps and stuff, there are lots of folders and orphaned files left in those folders from apps that you no longer have installed. Personally, I find it easiest to every once in a while launch it as a disk drive in my PC or Mac, yep, and just kind of go through and, mm-hmm, you know, shift or command highlight, select all of the folders that I actually want to get rid of and do it all in one fell swoop. But
yeah,
I mean, there's a number of different ways that you can do that.
I do the same thing, by the way. I hook it up as a drive and then I manage it that way. So
yeah, I mean, you can do it within an app and it's totally doable. There's Astro, which is actually one that I use. I believe it requires Root Explorer as well. Robin Malburn on Twitter said, I just go into And Explorer on the phone and delete it from my SD card. So I believe And Explorer doesn't require Root. Plug Pro on Twitter said, there's a program called SDMade, which I've heard of actually. It requires Root, but it can help with cleaning remnants. So it can actually scan through and say what's still installed, what isn't. These folders probably belong to apps that are no longer on there, and it can kind of automate the process a little bit. And then pilot_51 said clearing on uninstall actually works for 2.2 and beyond if the developers do it right. So hopefully, and I haven't confirmed this myself, but hopefully developers, if that is something that they can program into their apps, can kind of save you the trouble and actually work it into the app themselves so you don't have to.
So you got one more.
Yeah, you want me to read
that? Yeah,
that's
go for
the
it.
Route one. Dan from Manchester writes in and says, just wondering if there's a good place to go to pick a ROM for your phone. It's the first time ROMing my phone, and I want it to go well. Anything I should remember or do first? Have already ROMed with Super One Click. What else should I do? Maybe a whole show on ROMs? Well, we're not doing a whole show on ROMs right now. But I just wanted to say, I talked about it earlier in the ROMing the Thunderbolt section. XDA developers. Just go to Google and type that in, XDA developers. It's a forum just filled with tons and tons of information. You can find every single Android phone has a section practically. And you can go within there and there's development sections for inside each of those. And the entire development community that's kind of working along with ROMs and jailbreaking and all that kind of stuff, they're all posting and they move up to the very top of each particular forum. The best ROMs, you know, the most popular ROMs are in there. Different kernels that you can flash. So that you can speed up your phone. Just a whole lot of stuff there. It's a veritable gold mine. So check it out. XDA developers.
I love Dan saying, this is my first time ROMing my phone and I want it to go well. Like he's really invested in the ROMing of his phone. I respect that, Dan. So I hope it goes well. So.
Yeah, I hope it goes well too. the cool thing about ROMs is there's just a ton of them out there.
Yeah,
and if you don't like XDA one, developers. Flash another.
Yeah, XDA developers is a super cool place. If you're into all that stuff, it's like a amusement park of behind the scenes techie phone stuff. So it's really cool. But yeah, you find a good ROM there, definitely.
All right, cool. We're caught up on emails. I feel better now. I feel like I haven't just totally dropped the ball again. All right, let's move on to apps.
All right, well, a big congrats to SPB Shell.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot of talk that, you can't make a lot of money on Android. 750,000 in 3 weeks.
That's amazing.
I mean, you know, you got to admit, though, their app is $14.
Well,
so
it's impressive.
Higher, but it's still impressive.
It's impressive that they can sell an app for $14 or $15 and still get that many people. I guess it's just a testament to the quality of the app.
Yep.
If you extrapolate that, so they sell their app for $14 and they made $750,000. That means, and this is rough back of the napkin math, they sold roughly about 53,000 units. Installs. So if you have a 99-cent app and you sold 53,000, you can make 53,000. Like if you made an app you're selling for a dollar and you sold that many, you're still making a pretty good chunk of change.
Yeah.
So even though it's a higher priced app, if you had a lower priced app, you're selling at that volume, it's profitable. That's pretty cool. So.
You know, and SPB is kind of a different beast too. They're not just creating this move to SD app or whatever. This is a fully featured launcher. You know, pretty high quality, especially when you kind of put it up against something like HTC Sense, for example. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're working with hardware manufacturers to kind of bake this in. So just selling this app on the marketplace is not their only revenue stream. They're working with manufacturers to kind of get this baked in and making, I would imagine, a good chunk of change there as well.
And ultimately, it goes back to when we had Applebaum on the show and we were talking about being a developer. And it's like whether, you know, you can make an app and you can put it out there. And if it's just this kind of nagging thing and you don't want to do the customer service, you don't want to do the whole thing, it's going to be a problem. But if your business is making apps, you can make money on the Android marketplace. That if you're committed to the business model of developing apps for this platform, there are opportunities on the marketplace. There are opportunities with OEMs. There are opportunities with, you know, tying in with the manufacturers. There's so many different options if you do a really good app and you're committed to it. It's cool to see somebody succeed.
Very cool. Congrats to them.
All right. So I'm seeing if I can get this up here. So I think this is pretty cool. I guess on the iPhone, this is not that big a deal. But to Android, it kind of is. Skype 2.0 brings two-way video. Now, of course, the big kind of to-do right now is the fact that it doesn't work on every phone. Just because your phone has a front-facing camera doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work with your phone. Nexus S, Desire S, Xperia Neo, and Xperia Pro right out of the gate.
And looks like you have it up there.
I'm just showing the home screen of Skype right now. And if I wanted to call, which I don't really want to go to my contacts as my personal Skype, if I do that, I'm going to show everybody's handles. But
basically, it does just show the handles. It doesn't hide them in any way. That's
Which is nice about Google Plus, by the way. It's just the name.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take this away really quick. Yeah. I'm going to try and call someone. Maybe I'll call you, Ron.
I'm not logged in.
I'm logged in. Oh, yeah. I can't call you because you're already logged in. Never mind.
Yeah, you've already got me on Skype. Yeah, yeah, but we did it earlier. And it was pretty cool.
But I can call Jason.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Live demo.
Live demo.
Yeah, because I should also mention that. Let's see here. Uh-oh, did I log into the wrong one? No. I'm not seeing anything.
We didn't rehearse this one. We didn't even know. We were
Wait a minute. Okay, so let's see here. So I'll pull yours up.
I'm waiting for him to call. Screen. That's what it looks like.
Video.
I initiated video.
I did too. Oh, okay. Now.
And I'm going to mute your mic there. But you don't necessarily see me.
Yes. I'm seeing myself. What is...
I'm going to turn the volume down.
Yeah. Are you not seeing me?
Nope. I'm seeing me.
You see yourself until the connection is made. And when the connection is made, then it flips in.
Oh, there we go. So look at... Check this out. So I'm looking at Jason. He's calling me. Hey. And then look, I can move myself around. Whoa.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So you can move the self view around wherever you want to.
I can just say, you know what? I'm going to move that right there.
Yeah. I usually like to move that up. As close to the camera as possible. That way, if you're looking into it, it looks like you're looking at the person you're talking to.
Yeah. So basically, those of you who are listening in audio, there's this small little box that represents you in video, and you can move that all around the screen, and the camera itself will show, or the screen itself is showing who you are talking to.
There we go. And that's my screen. Now, you will notice that... So what phone do you have again?
I have the Nexus S.
The Nexus S, which was one of the launch compatibilities?
Yes.
I have the Thunderbolt, and it was not, actually. But there is a version of this app that is floating around. If you have a Gingerbread ROM... So it's perfect that I just flashed a Gingerbread ROM onto my phone. If you have a Gingerbread ROM on your Thunderbolt, you can install this special Thunderbolt version of the app... And you obviously it works. I'm doing it right now, so you can see it. Pretty cool. And then they also added today Nexus S 4G to the video calling roster. So yet again, this is one of those cases where, I mean, it's totally in their best interest to get this out to as many phones as possible. Hopefully it doesn't take long. Hopefully they see how many other phones it's not compatible with, in air quotes, actually running it, and you know, that's kind of their reason to step it up and get it working. That's what I'm hoping for.
All right, and Ron, we got a couple more new apps to talk about before we head into the arena.
Yeah, a couple apps I noticed that came out this week, or not this week, but recently. I'm a big Zipcar user. I live in the city. I don't have a car, but I like to drive, and so Zipcar is my answer. I've been so frustrated because Zipcar has an iPhone app, but it didn't have an Android app, and they still have a good mobile site. But then I was reserving a car, and I saw the little Android guy. I'm like, finally, the Zipcar Android app is here, and I've been using it, and it's great. It's really cool. You can manage all your reservations on it. You can unlock the car from the app. Like, it's fully functioned. Everything that they've done on the iPhone, they finally poured over to Android. So as a user of Zipcar, it's nice to see that they have that app, and that's pretty cool. And you can get that at their website. It's also in the Android marketplace. It's totally free. And, you know, not a lot of people are Zipcar members, but I see it growing. I mean, I see more Zipcars in New York and things like that. So it's a pretty cool service. So check
I love
that
the
out.
The automatic unlock that almost makes it so feel cool. Magical.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's living in the future. But but then another app that's been on iPhone for a while that finally came over that ported over to Android was Path, which was another one of those photo sharing kind of apps that came out, and they made all this news when they launched because they were a stealth startup, and what was it going to be, what was their app going to be, and it was this photo sharing app. And this is an example of, at least for me personally, my opinion of it is, like, there's not a lot of buzz around this app anymore, and had they launched at the same time iPhone and Android, you could have opened up to a much bigger audience. And who knows, maybe it would have been more of a hit and would have been embraced by the Android, you know, because I was sitting there on the sidelines watching all my friends that have iPhones use it, and I couldn't use it, and it was frustrating. That was like, what, 8 months ago? Like, it was last year, wasn't it, when the iPhone app came out?
Yeah, so, but I don't think many people use it in general. I really don't like it. I'm not gonna download it for Android. It's you know, social is social. You should open it up to everyone, not 50 people.
Absolutely. Yep. Totally agree. And not to mention, wow, bad timing.
Yeah.
I mean, they got overshadowed pretty hardcore. So if they had any sort of momentum, I mean, sure, people maybe that are really tuned into Path maybe noticed, but
yeah.
I mean, it got eclipsed. It got
trumped. Well, yeah, and that's it totally got eclipsed. But I still think it's a good example of, and Zipcar as well, Path, and this is my big beef with Instagram. It's the platform, I call it platformisting, where they're just beholden to that iPhone platform, mm-hmm. and they're only going to put apps there, and you're missing, and we talked about this again when Applebaum was on and all this sort of thing, you're missing out on an audience. And yep. More and more, if you're serious about making apps, you need to be developing in parallel for both platforms. That's just my opinion. So,
if not more.
Just to clarify really quick on the Skype demo that we did, I was using 3G. That wasn't Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Which was interesting. Because when we tested it earlier, I went on Wi-Fi because I thought it would have to work on Wi-Fi, and I was shocked that you were on 3G. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I was on 3G as well. Would have been 4G, but there is no 4G up here. Which, by the way, just as a really quick aside, I've actually been forcing myself to use the LTE.
Yeah.
And not too bad.
Oh, good.
The more I've used it, used a little Juice Defender in there
right.
to kind of regulate it a little
bit.
Oh,
nice.
Okay. Probably talk about it a little bit later. But yeah, it's good. LTE is awesome.
Hey, so we have a couple emails before we move on, and they're two tips, really quick tips that I think are really cool that came from some of our listeners. And Ron, I'm going to toss it to you first.
Yeah, our first tip comes in from a listener named Jason, not our Jason, but another Jason. He says that as a person that logs over 2,000 miles a week in his truck, I found that when using my phone and laptop tethered when no Wi-Fi around, that using the mobile site for some of my favorites – oh, wait. I blew that read. I'm sorry. Yeah. As a person that logs over 2,000 miles a week in his truck, he's found that when using his phone and laptop tethered when no Wi-Fi is around and using the mobile site for some of his favorites on the laptop load faster and uses less bandwidth. This helps me from hitting the cap. Just something to pass on to other people that might be going on vacation this summer. So basically what he's saying is that if you don't have Wi-Fi or if you don't have a good connection for your laptop and you're tethering with your phone and you're on your laptop, use mobile sites because it's less bandwidth intensive, which is a great tip really when you're traveling. Yeah, because it's funny because like before Foursquare had their Android app, I used to use the mobile site all the time in my browser. Like that's kind of funny. Like using mobile sites, a lot of sites now have like m.domain name or whatever that might be, and it's will use way less bandwidth. No big pictures, minimizes media, that sort of thing.
No, because they assume that you're on a slower mobile connection. They just want to get you the information fast.
Exactly, yes.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Nice.
All right, and this one's from Mike Lewis. This is an answer to our email last week about recording calls, incoming calls on your phone. And what I didn't realize, and both Mike and another listener had emailed in and said you could do that with Google Voice just by pressing 4. I had no idea. Oh. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea. I had not used Google Voice at all. But that's great. That it's tied in with the Google service, and I'm sure a lot of people are already using. It's nice to not have to install another app just to do that.
Yeah. So thank you, Mike, and to our other listener who I'm sorry I can't credit, but both of you had emailed
both of
that
you
in.
Get extra points.
Thank you.
In Eileen's book.
And another quick to add on to my email that I fumbled through. at Morvell in the chat room says that Firefox also has a plugin that allows you to change your user agent so the server thinks you're mobile, which basically masks your browser and says, "Hey, I'm on a mobile connection." So Jason, you might want to look into that because not Jason Howell, but Jason right. who wrote in. So when you're on the road, you can switch easily Firefox to make it think that you're mobile. So that'll make using mobile sites that much easier. So thanks, at Morville, for that.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you, chat room, for correcting us for a couple of things during the show because I don't want to get emails saying, "Did you know that those invites on eBay do not work?" So I really appreciate it.
Always appreciate it. All right, let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor this week. It's Squarespace.
Hooray!
Which I am super stoked about. I think, actually, we all have Squarespace accounts, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We do. Yep.
Nice.
I've been using mine for a couple years now. Yeah. I use it for a podcast that I do about vampires and shows like True Blood. So that's BikeClubShow.com. And man, it's so easy to use and easy to create a blog. I mean, I have used WordPress in the past. And you know what? Because they sponsored this show, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to port my WordPress blog, my personal one, and create my own personal blog using Squarespace. I've been only using it for my podcast, my other podcast, but you know what? Thank you, Squarespace, for sponsoring All About Android, and I think that's what I'm going to do. What do you guys use Squarespace for?
I got Squarespace Squarespace. Did I not say Squarespace? I got spit in my mouth, don't we all? I use Squarespace. I actually moved to it from managing my own with like Dreamweaver and you know, PowWeb, I think is what my site was on. Because I just I never updated it because on my old system it was just such a pain to update and do any sort of changes to it. So I never wanted to add any content to it or mess with the design and look. And Squarespace, I heard about it on the shows and used it, and I mean, it's just ridiculously fun to use. It's not just easy, but it's just a lot of fun to tinker with. And
yeah, they've got tons and tons of templates, and from there you can change the color, the font. You know, they've got lots of different plugins for social media like Twitter, Flickr, whatever you use, Google Maps, and all that kind of thing. And you can actually export your WordPress, Blogger, Movable Type, Typepad, you know, those blogs, and you know, move them into Squarespace.
Easy to bring them in. That was one thing that I needed as well. I didn't want to have to work for that. It was so easy.
Yeah, and I've done it too, and it's super, super simple.
Well, one thing, well, I had my personal blog on WordPress, and I never used it because, like Jason, like you said, but doing the security updates and all that stuff, hosting on my own server was such a pain in the butt. And so moving it to Squarespace and having it be in their hosted solution, they handle all the security stuff for you, one less thing to worry about. And then I relaunched my own personal site at ronoxo.com, and I fully intended it to be like my blog, and I used that to announce that I was leaving Revision 3 and all that sort of stuff. Ever since then, I really only I only post like music on there. Like I post like mixes and videos that I take at shows. So it's pretty much become like my music blog. But what's neat is that it's got my Twitter feed in there. I didn't need to figure out how to use the Twitter extensions or apps or anything like that. It just, they have a Twitter widget that you just drag and drop right in, and it works.
Yep.
Like that's the cool thing about Squarespace, is like it just works. So I dig it.
Yeah, it's super customizable. If you are an expert in like CSS and you want to actually go deeper than, you know, the little sliders and selecting a page element, if you want to actually program that in with CSS, you totally can. It's very intricate, and it gives you a whole lot of control over the entire layout of the site. And I had a lot of fun creating the site, and I still go in there and kind of go, you know what, I see other sites and I think of an idea, and it's really easy to kind of replicate that and go into my site and make a quick change and make it happen. So so obviously we all absolutely love Squarespace, and we think that you should try it out, and it's a free trial. If you go to squarespace.com, you can sign up for a free account. There's no credit card needed. You can just try it out, start building your website. You can start building a website like right away, actually, within like I think a minute. You can start you know, having a layout to kind of start from, and then if you decide to purchase it, use the offer code Android7, all one word. Android7, pretty easy to remember. 7, you know, July. Android7. Use that show offer code and get 10% off for the next 6 months on your Squarespace account. I tell you, it is totally worth it. I love this site. It is so much fun.
Yeah, so if you're thinking about starting a blog and you want to support our show somehow, that's the way you could do it. And, you know, last time we had a sponsor that did not have an Android app, that was Netflix, and we talked about it. They ended up launching a Netflix app. So, you know, there is an iPhone and iPad app for Squarespace, but maybe in the future they would possibly drum up an Android app. That would be very cool. Yeah. I'm trying to set that in motion there. Do you see how I did that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, because we'll talk about it some more.
What do you think, Squarespace? Huh? Android? Little Android love? Yeah, I'm sure you're working on it.
Yeah.
So anyways, squarespace.com, Android7 is the offer code. Check that out. All right. It's time. Let's step into the arena.
To enter, one lives. Android Arena.
All right, so this is going to be a little anticlimactic from last week. Unfortunately, you remember, well, fortunately, last week we had a really good discussion about backup apps.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this is what I get when I go to last week's poll.
You know, it might have saved me the embarrassment of how many of you did not vote for my app. So maybe it was, you know, somehow it worked in my personal favor, but I'm still bummed because I wanted to know if Titanium was going to beat my backup pro.
Yeah,
I think it probably was.
The page you were looking for doesn't exist for some reason. I don't know why. What that is, I thought maybe it was a misspelling, but I checked last week's doc, and sure enough, no. Maybe the chat room remembers what was winning at that particular moment. I don't know.
Did anybody check?
I know. Anybody remember? anyways, whatever. We can't live in the past. We just got to move forward. So we're going to create some new history, all right? This week, we're going to talk about Twitter, which is kind of interesting week to talk about Twitter. I got to say, as much as I love my Twitter app, and I do love it, it's my favorite one of the apps out there on Android, I've been using it a lot less the last couple of days. I actually have to, in my mind, since Google Plus, and maybe it's the whole newness factor, I have to remind myself to update my Twitter feed and remind myself to check Facebook. Like,
I think you guys are crazy. I mean, Google Plus is cool, but like, Twitter is my go-to, the first thing I think of.
Okay.
Normally it is for me too. I'm not saying that Twitter's going anywhere. I'm just saying right now, the last 3 or 4 days or whatever, I've been kind of in the Plus world, and it's been hard for me to kind of dig my way out. So, so we're going to talk about Twitter apps, and I guess I'll go ahead and start it off here. My favorite Android app for Twitter is TweetDeck, and I'm sure a lot of you know about the desktop software. It's very highly customizable on the desktop. Gives you all your columns and rows. In fact, do I have it? No, I don't have it up right now. But the Android app attempts to kind of mimic what you see on the desktop app. I'll go ahead and launch it from here. Boom. And so obviously on the phone you have smaller real estate, so you're not going to get the multiple columns that you see on the desktop app, but it still runs the same way. If you swipe your feeds to the left and to the right, you can kind of navigate between your columns. But I think the first and foremost, the thing I really like about TweetDeck is it just feels really clean to me. There aren't a whole lot of extra buttons on the screen that you have to manage. There's just kind of a few. And to be quite honest, really, the only button that I use down here is the post button, which I'll talk about first. If you hit the post button, you get all of your options. TweetDeck allows you to sync multiple accounts, and it doesn't just update Twitter. It also updates Facebook. I think you can check in on Foursquare with TweetDeck, though I don't do that a whole lot. And I'm not really quite sure what the other options are. I think that might be it. Facebook, Twitter, and Foursquare on the Android app. But you've got all of your options. There's a downward arrow that'll get rid of the keyboard and allow you to do things like add a picture. You can take a picture. You can set your location, enter it in. You can add contacts manually from those that you follow and from those that follow you. And you can post to multiple accounts at once. So you can just tick them up at the very top. Really easy to know which ones you're posting to because it imports your avatar, and that's kind of how you select. And that's kind of a big deal to me. I like to use just one app to update multiple things. Maybe, who knows, maybe there will be a Google Plus edition here sometime in the near future. But so you can, there isn't a whole lot of customization with the columns necessarily. If you hit the menu button, you get your column settings, and you can determine how often it updates each individual column. So for my home column, which is just basically my Twitter feed, I don't have that set super rapidly. I have it set at 12 minutes because, quite frankly, I don't need my phone updating every 3 minutes for feeds that I'm maybe going to check once or twice an hour. You know what I mean? So every 12 minutes is current enough for me. You can set how you want to be notified on those. Again, on home, I don't need to know every time any person that I follow makes an update. I'll just check it at my own leisure. Otherwise, I could get notified. I could turn on a light, you know, have it activate an LED light when an update comes through. I don't have that on my home, though. You can also integrate your Facebook into the feed as well, which I like a lot. I really like the integrated look, and you can see the difference here. The gray is Twitter. The blue is anything coming in from Facebook. So it's all kind of in one area and allows you to kind of click through. And, you know, you have the same options on Facebook, and, you know, you can like a Facebook, which is a little different from Twitter, but that you would in the Facebook app. So it's kind of nice. It's not a fully featured Facebook replacement, but it does a really good job right off the top. Swipe over, you know, on my me column, I'm probably going to have that updating a little bit more rapidly every 6 minutes. And I actually want it to notify me because somebody's talking directly to me. So I have notify and light on. And again, every single one of these columns you can kind of customize so that it does different things. Direct message might even be more escalated because someone's contacting me directly in private. Maybe it's a little bit more important. And then it has full list capability. So right here, you're seeing I have an Android list on my Twitter account that's basically all the news feeds that I follow. And so I just have this in here, and it's just a really easy, quick way to see what the latest, you know, news is in Android from the sources I trust. And, you know, again, I could just click through and hit the link and follow it right through. You can do the full retweets. You can favorite it. You can do all that stuff with this. And, you know, there's really not a whole lot more to customize around it. Add your accounts, text size, which is, it's pretty funny how there's an entire button just dedicated to text size per column. But there is. it takes, you know, it's like I said, it's, they kind of cut out any extra noise and just kind of get to the meat of it. So that's kind of it. I don't believe that there's a widget for TweetDeck. In fact, if there is, I've never used it. Here, we can go ahead and look right now.
I think it does. I remember when I first came out, I played with it. It had a widget. I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I gotta admit, this is, I mean, I remember I installed it right when it first came out when it was in beta, and I was really disappointed by it, and so I didn't use it. Now, after looking at this, I kind of want to revisit it.
Let's see. We'll do column. That's right. Of course I knew there was a widget, because it used to be in the app wouldn't automatically refresh if you didn't have a widget installed. Now they fixed that. But anyways, they have a few different widgets, a quick post, a status update that shows you just randomly, you know, some of your followers, what their latest updates are, and then kind of a control panel to get to the different ways of interacting with the app. So that's TweetDeck for Android. I like it a lot. I always go back to it. I just like its simplicity, and that's my Twitter app of the week. Who's next?
You want me to go next?
go next.
I'm thinking about what I want to say. And for those of you who follow me on Twitter, I've complained a bit about Android Twitter apps. I haven't really found, or it took me a while to find the one that I really would use every day. I used Twika. I really loved it. The official Twitter app I liked as well. Someone told me about Mustard, and I know TweetDeck, Seismic. I've used a ton. Believe me, I've been searching for a long time. And then, you know, a few people said, well, what about TweetDroid, Eileen? I mean, you know, what about that? Haven't you used that yet? And I said, all right. And I abandoned TweetDroid a while ago when they got in trouble by Twitter for violating some privacy, trademark, and monetization rules. And I kind of forgot about it. And I just kind of put them out of sight, out of mind. And recently I went ahead and revisited, because I still, you know, I purchased the app. I own it. So I wanted to launch it. They've made some changes to TweetDroid since I have last visited, I don't know, like almost a year ago. And I was pleasantly surprised. And that is my app, Twitter app of the week. It is TweetDroid. And it is TweetDroid Pro, $3.99 in the marketplace. There is a light version, so if you want to try it out without having to pay, go for it. The criteria that I have for Twitter is really, I want fast loading, which Seismic was really slow. I want multiple accounts. I want to be able to RT. I'm old school like that. Honestly, that's all I really care about. And lo and behold, I got that and more. Now, the only issue I have with reloading, see that up there? It's right next to where you would actually post the tweet. It's kind of too close for my comfort. But for some reason, it hasn't really resulted in anything. I don't know. Not that it would
be a minor annoyance more than anything.
Yeah, it's like, can't we just,
when you just want to
can't we just have some other place? Why is it right next to where you actually tweet? So here's what it looks like. Okay, now I'm going to try to be really good about describing this for the audio listeners here. It has all your basic functions. Now, you could change the look, you could change the color, you could change the background as well. There's tons and tons of customization. And check this out. On the bottom here is a dock.
Oh, wow. That's
a lot. And it has a lot of options here that you can customize, move around. And there's actually also a button here, if this ever launches, for daily deals. It's like Groupon on here.
Wow, this was clever.
This
smart.
Was kind of bizarre to me.
Is it Groupon or what?
You know what? It's Living Social, which I love better than Groupon, by the way. So, you know, you have your basic at reply as well. Let's see here. DMs, lists, and you can manage lists. You've got favorites as well. All on this bottom dock here, which is really kind of great. And you've got this button here called Channels. And when this loads, it's like you know, various news that you could get. I mean, I couldn't believe that all of this came here, and I don't remember.
It's almost like they're creating lists for you.
Yeah, wow. I don't. And then trending topics, of course, search, and then retweets. What I also like, and I have basically launched something I didn't want to, but what I also like here, I love live demos, is you can do a live preview pane, and you can go horizontal here and check this out. So you could see the live preview of a post of a photo.
Oh,
I like that. Yeah, so you can kind of see, not too many people. I was just checking earlier, not too many people have actually posted. So when you go horizontal, you click on someone who's posted a photo, you can see that preview on the right hand side. And
very
larger,
similar to what you see on the tablet implementations,
yeah,
of a lot of the Twitter apps.
Yeah, I like that. When you're switching from multiple accounts, a little janky, I gotta say. You gotta swipe, and every once in a while I see some bug, and it probably won't happen now. So I'm scrolling. Yeah, it won't happen now. Every once in a while when I'm scrolling down to see posts, it automatically goes back to my other account. Kind of weird. That's just a tiny bug. But yeah, so I've got everything here. I can retweet with comment. If someone has replied to you, you could actually see the conversation. I really like that as well.
Conversation
view. View conversation is very important to me because sometimes I don't know what they're referring to, mm-hmm, or if I haven't looked at Twitter for, I don't know, several hours, and I see, and I thought, you know, sometimes I reply and go, huh? Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't remember what I tweeted. Yeah, I mean, again, there's tons and tons of customizations that you could do in the settings here. You could, again, choosing your themes, your notifications, your display options, video and photo posting. This thing, it's just a chalk box of just tons and tons and tons of other settings. Can I have even more settings for hashtags and refreshing? I don't know. I mean, I just wanted it to refresh fast. Have multiple accounts and make me be able to RT. It hit all of those and more.
Right.
So, and I have not been disappointed since I picked it up again over the last couple weeks. So, thank you to those of you who reminded me about TweetDroid, and thank you TweetDroid for being a really full client Twitter app, and I really, really enjoy it.
I see that you have Refresh on Shake activated.
Oh yeah, you know what? I haven't tried that. See, that's another feature. That's bizarre, but it's cool, right? Let's see, Shake. Oh, and it did refresh. I felt it refresh.
Huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You felt it. If you didn't feel it refresh,
well, because it's vibrating. Yeah, I have the vibrate option on. Oh man. But anyways, you just shake it and it refreshes. Nice. I guess, yeah, then I don't have to hit that. I keep forgetting. See, that's another
function.
Shake
your phone and then risk throwing it down accidentally. The Nintendo Wii effect.
Anyways, that's TweetDroid and Ron.
Nice. All right,
hey.
Ron.
All right, so I'm the boring one.
Boring.
I'm a little boring. For my Twitter app of choice is once I got the Android phone back in the day, I was on TweetDroid, I tried Seismic, like you said, I tried TweetDeck, I've tried all the Twitter, whatever, I think they call it something different now, the French one. And once Twitter came out with their Android app, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to be safe and use the official Twitter Android app and see how that goes. And I haven't looked back since. For me, the most important thing for me about a Twitter app is that easy, you know, like let me get my timeline, let it load quickly. Don't limit how far back I can go, because like when you go to the movies and you're gone for 2 hours, I want to be able to get everything. Simply let me see my at replies. Let me get to my DMs. That's all I really need. It's really simple. Also, easy photo integration, that sort of thing. And the Twitter official app just does it well. And the way I look at it is, who better to utilize than the people inside the building of Twitter's office developing an app for it, you know? And it wasn't the case of where they bought Tweety and then adapted that to be the official Twitter iPhone app and that sort of thing. Like they built this Twitter app from the ground up, and it really shows it, I think. And it shows that they've really put some thought into how you use Twitter and how you use Twitter on the Android, that sort of thing. That said, my real complaint and the thing that just kills me is that I just want multiple account access. They don't, for some reason, Twitter official on every angle, Twitter official doesn't seem to want to let you have multiple accounts. They don't acknowledge the fact that people have multiple accounts.
Which is
actually really interesting though, because I am in on the beta for the Twitter advertisers for my day job, and they do allow you to switch between a corporate account and your personal account. So when I'm logged in on Twitter on the browser, I can switch between two accounts, which is kind of interesting. But they don't support that on the mobile apps as of yet. But yeah, I mean, it just works. You know, like I've got it. I can control over what URL shortener I want to use. So I prefer Bitly, so I use that. Photo upload service I want to use, I can choose that. At least for now, I use YFrog. And that sort of thing. I don't really use the lists. It gives you the option for your RTs. You can use the RT function, or you can just quote the post and add the RT. That's no problem. Like, they've listened to what everybody's kind of complained about. And like I said, it just works. I don't want to have to think about it. That's my problem. And all the other apps, every time I put it in, there would be something I would need to think about, or some annoying nitpick or something like that. And even though I use TweetDeck on my desktop, for some reason, I just default to the official Twitter for Android. So that's me.
Twitter for Android has a lot has really good ties into the OS as well. They've done a really good job kind of working it directly into your contacts, which is something that I know TweetDeck doesn't have.
Oh yeah, the sync contact stuff. That's a really good point. Blew my mind the first time I saw that happen, because I was just like, it was one of the things that I was installing the new version of the app, and I'm like, oh yeah, sure, sync my contacts. And then I was looking in my phone contacts, and I see like people's most recent tweets, and it brought in all their icons, their avatars from Twitter into my phone book, and it was awesome. It was a really elegant, simple kind of implementation. So yeah, it was pretty neat.
I love the pull down refresh to tweet.
Yeah,
it's just super. I love that.
That's slowly becoming a norm across apps like this, because it's just so intuitive. You reach the top, you pull down, it goes and checks.
And that's an iOS thing, right? I mean, that came from iOS.
Yes.
So I mean, that's cool. And the other thing about the Twitter app is that it just, like, it's simple to find people. It's simple. Like, what I also like, and admittedly, I follow a lot of people and a lot of people follow me, but when you do a post and you do @ and you start typing letters, it will come up with suggestions based on people who follow you, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it would be more inclusive, because, you know, there are names on there that I wish it would suggest, that sometimes I forget the spelling, but it doesn't, and that sort of thing. But there are little neat little things in there that I'm always kind of noticing and surprising. I think the location control is really done well. I can turn off location when I don't want people to know where I am. But I kind of like the location attachment to the tweet. So it just kind of works, and I dig it.
Yeah, I mean, again, if this had multiple account support,
it would be golden. It would be perfect.
Yeah. So strange that they don't do that. I have to imagine that's got to be one of the top requests for the app.
Yeah,
they do it for
a glaring omission from it.
They do it for iOS. I don't know why don't they just kind
of. And it's got to be coming. I hope it's coming, because then what happens for me is that I've got, you know, my job Twitter accounts I need to manage, especially when I'm at a convention or a conference, and I run, you know, Seismic for the multiple accounts, and I pop over there. And that's the thing, I like to keep them kind of separated, because I hate when people post in the wrong account and that sort of thing. But if the Twitter official app could support multiple accounts, I would just be in heaven. I would never need anything else.
Yeah. And you know what we never got on the Android? We never got the dick bar.
We never got that.
So thank you, Twitter, because that was dumb.
They developed that stuff for iPhone before.
Yeah.
I'm playing with the app now, and Jason, it's important to note you can adjust the font size in this as well.
Excellent. That's really important to me.
Yep.
I want to be able to, you know, make them really big with my old man eyes. I just want to point out, well, first of all, actually, let's do this. Go ahead and vote. Tell us what you think of the three Twitter clients that we covered on this show. Which is your favorite? Go ahead and tell us. TweetDeck, Twidroid Pro, which is kind of hard to spell. So if you're listening to this, TWIDROYD. They had to change it, I think, because Twitter was knocking on their door. And then Twitter for Android, the official Twitter app. You can go ahead and vote for those. Vote at poll.cm/14. poll.cm/14. You'll notice the number reset down from down to zero 13 ago, and we got the 14th again. I'm thinking that might be why last week's poll disappeared. Maybe they
just
wiped out
all the data.
Yeah, crazy. Which is kind of strange, but who knows? Maybe something happened. But poll.cm/14. Vote and let us know what you think your favorite Twitter app is. And of course, you can always email us, AAA@twit.tv, and let us know what other apps you actually like. If you don't like these, we'd love to hear it.
My prediction is it's going to be TweetDeck by a landslide. That's my prediction.
I don't know. The Twitter apps, they all are compelling for their own reasons, and there's so many of them, and everybody seems to have different requirements for their Twitter apps. So
yeah,
this could really go anyway, because they're all top-notch Twitter apps. Well, really quickly, check this out. Still going. Hangout is still going strong.
Cool.
Hey,
there's Eric Geller. Eric Geller I recognize. I don't know if I recognize the rest of you, but I will soon, I hope. But yeah, they're still in there talking Android, I have to imagine. If not, we're not doing a good job.
I know. Well, maybe they're still talking Google Plus.
Yeah, could be. Who knows? Hey, this is a netcast available for download after the fact. So maybe they're just talking Android, and then they'll check us out again when we come out in the feeds. But I think that's it. Can you guys think of anything else we need to talk about?
Next week, we are going to talk about battery-saving apps.
Yeah, thank you for the reminder. Yet again, something that I always forget to
do. But you're the one who highlighted it.
And put it in bold, and put it in 16-point font typeface so that I wouldn't forget, and I forgot.
That's what we're here for. This is a team.
Yep, next week, we'll just bring a bat, and you can hit me over the head to remind me. That'll make me never forget ever again, or it'll make me forget everything. I don't know.
It'd be like whack-a-mole.
Yeah. So battery-saving apps. Would really actually love to know what you think along those lines. If you have one that you particularly love, send us an email, aaa@twit.tv, or leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Let us know what battery saving apps you use and love, because there are a few out there. I can think of one right off the top that is really, really popular, but we want to know about more and why it's popular. So let us know.
Yeah, which one of us is going to get that app? Because that one's going to win.
I don't know. Who knows? We might find like a dark horse that, you know, just comes out of nowhere and just blows it away.
All right.
And we're not going to say the name of that app.
No.
We get suspense, you know, that's a tease.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for this week. So, Ron, why don't you tell people where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/RonXO, and there's also a link there to my about.me/RonXO page, and that's where you can find links to all my other websites, my job, my Fanboy graphically, all the fun stuff I do online. You can find me there.
Yay!
Yay, and Eileen!
Well, just you could find me on Twitter at EileenTV, or do a little search for me on Google+, because I'm using that quite a bit.
All right, and I'm Jason Howell. You can find me on Twitter at Raygun01. So, once again, thanks so much for tuning in to All About Android. You can send us an email, aaa@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Hit us up on Twitter. We're at Android Show. You can catch us live every Monday, normally, 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. And the show notes are at twit.tv/AAA. That is it, folks. We're going to wrap this up by showing you a little bit more of the Hangout. Bye, guys.